Okay, so last time I preached up here quite a while ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but I was super excited then, and I can't remember exactly what I preached actually, but I just remember afterwards I was really pleased. I thought I delivered it well, and there was lots of positive feedback from you guys. You know, came up to me and saying, good job, awesome. I was like, yes, and I thought, you know, God's got a purpose in me doing that sort of thing. It's awesome. I can, you know, I'm really coming, improving from previous efforts. And, oh, big cough, Dave. That was an agreement cough, all right? Yeah. Too right. And so I had to listen to it after, you know, during the week after that. And I listened to about first 5 minutes and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't put two words together without an in between. Right, every second word was I was just stuttering all the way, and I'm like, this is woeful. What is going on here? I felt like Porky Pig. That's all, folks. You know, and I thought of Moses. You know, Moses in Exodus verse 4, he says, God, I'm not eloquent, and I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And I'm like, me and Moses, pound it, buddy. I'm right there with you. I couldn't believe that. You guys felt that I needed so much positive encouragement that you would lie to me in such a way, you know. It was just, I was really devastated. And so I had these two mindsets going through my mind, this conflict, this opposition, you know. My initial feeling of a positive and encouraged and you know, it was the anointing and God's encouragement on what I was doing and the purpose in it and what he had for me in it. And then there was this negative criticism, condemnation of, that's not that great, bro, and you ain't going to get there, and it's not going to happen, and you got a long way to come, son. So so I had to choose which narrative I was going to listen to. I had to think about, hang on, am I going to stand on the truth, or am I going to listen to these lies that are coming against me, trying to rob me from what purpose God had in what I was doing. And so I remembered that Moses, he went on to big things. So I'm like, come on, it's not all bad, right? It's not all bad. I don't know if you guys have heard of the story of the two wolves. It's a secular story which is out there. And when you share it on Facebook, you get plenty of likes. So but you might have heard it. I'm just going to go through it for those that may not have heard it. And there's a lot of different versions, but this one's about an old Indian guy. An old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He says to him, a fight is going on inside me. It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. But doesn't it sound familiar? I don't know if you guys recognized the theme of what's going on there. Galatians 5 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And it goes on in verse 19, the works of the flesh, which are evident, are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, etc., etc., etc. Similarly to the story that listed all the attributes of the flesh. And then in verse 22, the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it's a direct reflection of that secular story. And it's exactly true. You know, there are two opposing sides inside us. And it's all going on in here. And it all comes down to which narrative are we going to listen to. You know, your flesh and your spirit do battle for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will and emotions, and the flesh is trying to get control of your mind, will and emotions. And your spirit is trying to get control of your mind, will and emotions. And one wants you to walk in truth and in righteousness, and that's where God wants you to walk. But the enemy wants you to walk in your flesh, and for your mind, your will and emotions to be dominated by your flesh. And then you'll be pulled towards the one that you feed the most. So whichever one you dwell on, whichever one your thoughts dwell on, is where you're going to be pulled towards. And it becomes your default in any situation in life. Suddenly, you're defaulting towards a negative. You're defaulting towards criticism. You're just defaulting towards condemnation. Or you're pulling yourself back and you say, hang on, God says this about me. God says this about this situation. There's truth that I can stand on in this situation. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas are there in Iconium. And verse 1, it says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred. Hang on. I'm missing a line here. Can you believe that? Stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. So they stayed a long time. Here we are. Thank you very much. Speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done in their hands. So that, you know, there's even more convincing evidence that they should believe. But the multitude in the city was divided, part sided with the Jews, part sided with the apostles and the believers. And when a violent attempt was made by the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and surrounding region. They took off, right? And this is a clear reflection of what I'm talking about. There's a division in our mind. There's a division in the city, in our heart. And the flesh will attack against the righteousness of God in your heart. And when the flesh comes to attack, we've got to make a choice to flee. You know, resist the devil and he will flee. And do not dwell or focus or feed that attack. You feed that attack, you're going to dwell in it. And it's going to rob you of life. It's going to rob you of truth. And it's going to rob you of strength. You know, your strength of your spirit is going to be eroded away the more you stand and lean towards that flesh and give in to that flesh attack. You know, when you're first saved, your spirit man is strengthened every day. It's constantly growing. You're constantly into devouring the Bible. You're praying all the time. It's new. It's fresh revelation. It's exciting. And your spirit man grows stronger and stronger to be a mighty warrior of the army of the Lord. And then you get to a point where something happens, things change in your life, and it's not as easy to stand in and build that spirit man. And you know, it might not just be a spirit man, it might be a promise that God's given you. You know, you've got a revelation, you've got a promise that something God has for you, but over time, you know, hope deferred makes the heart faint. But maybe it's a new interest in your relationship or a tragedy, you know, a tough time, a trauma. All these things can happen in our life, and it might be something that God has allowed in your life to draw you closer to him. It's something he allowed in your life to move you away from something that is going to harm you. And it's something, it's only something that you felt was actually painful and crushing. And you may have looked for another source to deal with your pain or deal with that emotion that you felt in that scenario. And so the promise that you once had, or the spirit man that you once had that was strong, was suddenly felt a crushing too. And you didn't know that in the crushing, God's making new wine. You didn't know that in the pressing, God's releasing oil like with olives. You know, it's only released when it's crushed. You know, a diamond is only produced under extreme pressure. And the grapes need to be crushed to produce grape juice, which then needs time to become the new wine that's a blessing to others. All of these challenges and difficulties and things that can crush us and pull us down are only to bring out goodness for God's glory and for those around you and for yourself to be blessed. But sometimes it's easy to hang on to a lie. You know, we've got these two opposing mindsets that are coming against us. And in those challenging times, the difficult times, in changing times, we hang on to that the lie of the enemy, the lie of the flesh that says, you need to go over here to get feel better. And so you might walk away from the from doing what you'd normally do, from reading a Bible, praying, praising, worshipping, and it becomes less and less. And so while you're feeling crushed emotionally, your spirit man is getting crushed also. and the voice that you listen to accepts every situation in your life, the standards you have, who you see God as, and your relationships with other people, and suddenly you're 5 steps to the side of where you were and moving away. And the more you feed the flesh man, the weaker the spirit man becomes. And actually, the more you feed the flesh man, the easier the opposition becomes. Because if you're battling in your mind between your flesh and your spirit, it means your flesh, your spirit man is alive and he is strong and he's fighting for control of your soul. But if you're leaning, walking away and walking by the flesh and moving towards the things of the flesh and hanging on to a lie of the flesh, then there's no conflict because the spirit man's getting drowned out and is being overcome. You know, your spirit man is wounded while your flesh man grows stronger. Your spirit man is bound while your flesh man roams freely in your soul. And the one you feed is the one who wins. Your spirit man, or that promise that you had, is reduced from something great in the sight of the Lord, something mighty, is reduced to something that's weak, a prisoner of war who's unable to fight off the attacks of the enemy, fight off the attack of the flesh. And over time, your spirit man can die. You might even put that promise or put that spirit man, lock it up in the cupboard in the back room, you know. You don't want to deal with it. You just don't want to go there. You know, any mention of it or of church or God, or you run for the hills, you don't want to look at it, you don't want to address it. With that promise that you once had years ago, I can't go back there. It's too disappointing, it's too hurtful, it's too much pain. And so that thing, or that thing just becomes nothing but bones, because as it decays and deteriorates, there's nothing but bones left, just dry bones. Bones that have long since had life in them, just accumulating dust. And you know, it's got a locked door on it, and it's down in the back room. You never go there, you won't go near it. Ezekiel 37, verse 11 says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" And you know, that's what we do when we've chosen to hang on to the hurt or the pain or the lie. We cut it off. We cut off that thing that has caused us the pain, the thing that was a good thing, the thing that was a godly thing, the thing that was a thing of promise for your life, a thing of purpose for your life, a thing of salvation for your life. When we find it too tough and we hang on to that pain, we cut it off. The truth is, however, hope's not lost. There's always hope. Jesus still loves you. Jeremiah says, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves you, every part of you, and everything that he has for you is part of his purpose. And even though your spirit man or your promise or the thing that he gave you is nothing but bones, there's hope for you. Your faith may be nothing but dry bones, but God can bring life to those dry bones. That faith that you had, those dry bones of faith, is enough that God can bring life to those bones. Ezekiel 5 says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." You know, when Ezekiel was confronted with the valley, it's a big area, right? It's a vast area. And there was lots of bones in the middle of the valley. And God took him by the whole lot, you know, across the whole lot. And then God said to Ezekiel, "Speak to these bones," and he did. But do you think Ezekiel spoke to them in a conversation tone? Do you think he was just talking to these couple of bones here? You know, he had to speak to the bones, right? The bones. Not just the foreground, but the background, all of them throughout the whole valley. He had to raise his voice. He had to speak with a loud voice and speak to the bones. He had to yell. And in John 11, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The activation of our faith, our dry bones faith, needs a loud voice. When Paul, in Acts 14, saw the crippled man in Lystra, he said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." You know, the verse 10 in Ezekiel, they lived, stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. There's an exceedingly great army amongst us, which is hidden in their dry bones, where our faith has been lost, where our faith has been cast aside, where our hope has been let go. There is an exceedingly great army within each of us that needs to be awakened, that needs to be spoken to. Jeremiah 31. I haven't got much left, so you guys are doing... you're in luck if you're in a rush. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "The Lord appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with tambourines, and you shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice.'" That's a promise that God has for us to rebuild. He's going to rebuild that which he planted in you. Something that's been planted and has grown but has withered. He wants to rebuild that and speak life to it. So can we all get on our feet? We're going to speak some life over our dry bones today. We're going to bring forth some life. We're going to speak breath into these dry bones and let God move in our heart. If we just stand and close our eyes, you know, God's got something specific in your heart that he wants to bring life to. There's something specific that you've walked away, that you've left behind, that you've dropped, something that he had a great purpose for you, or has a great purpose for you, and he wants to fulfill that purpose through that thing. And he wants you to stand in faith and by faith and speak to those bones in a loud voice and speak to them and to bring life to them. So join with me and repeat after me. I prophesy to these bones. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to my bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you. I will bring flesh upon you. I cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would breathe into these dry bones right now by your Spirit, Lord. Touch the heart of the people here today, Lord, and move in their behalf, Lord Jesus. Let bone come to bone, and sinew and flesh cover those bones, and let skin cover those bones, Lord, that there might be life, Lord, and that the bones of the thing that you've given them would come to life, Lord, that there would be a rekindling, Lord, of that promise, a rekindling of that good thing of purpose that you put inside each one, Lord Jesus, that you would move right now by your Spirit, Lord, and come alive, Lord, in their heart and in their mind, Lord Jesus. Let their spirit man be strengthened. Let him stand and be part of an exceedingly great army, Lord Jesus. Let that spirit man be a strong, mighty warrior, Lord. And from this day forward, there would be life and there would be hope and there would be truth in those bones that are no longer dry, but they're covered in flesh and they're living, breathing, mighty warrior, full of purpose and full of goodness for you, Lord Jesus, for your glory and for your kingdom, Lord. Just let it come forth today, Lord. Just put your hands up, raise your hands in the air if you believe that God has a new thing to do in that thing of old. He's got a new power to fulfill in that thing of old, that thing which was down and dead and decayed, that God has a purpose in it. And just, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your purpose in each and every one here, Lord.
We just give you glory today, Lord Jesus. We want to see you magnified in these things which were left behind, which were put away, which were locked away in places where we didn't want to go near them, Lord. Only you can perform that healing miracle, Lord, of restoring life to these dry bones and restoring breath to these dry bones, that they would be able to walk and fulfill your purposes, Lord. You put them there for a reason. You don't do anything by chance, but every single thing has a purpose in you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the purpose in every single person here, Lord. We just declare that your purpose would be fulfilled, that this purpose would be resurrected, Lord, from death to life. And we thank you, Lord, for the resurrecting power of your name, the resurrecting power of your blood. And we just declare, Lord, that your anointing would flow in this place, Lord, and touch every single heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, just come upon each one right now, Lord Jesus, and let your anointing be that healing balm. Let that healing balm to heal those wounds, to heal those disappointments, to heal those struggles and those tragedies that caused those bones to dry out. Lord, just touch each one right now. Touch each heart right now, Jesus. Lord, come into this place and move. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Just pray by the Spirit, guys. Let that Spirit minister to your heart, Lord. Just minister to your heart and just speak in tongues to the Lord and just make that connection. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shurakia. You know, guys, it's every week we hear that it's about feeding our spirit, man. It's about reading our word, praying, worshiping, entering in to the spirit, and that's something we've got to turn around. We've got to keep building our spirit, man, from this day on. We can't just let it go back to bones. We can't let him go back to wasting away. We've got to overcome the enemy, and I'm really glad what Tanya shared earlier about putting worship music on. When that enemy comes to attack, stand on the Spirit, draw on the Spirit, put worship music on, remind yourself of what God says about the situation, remind yourself of what God says about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, the Spirit says you're an overcomer. God says you're the head and not the tail. And God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And stand on that Christ who strengthens you. Stand on that Christ within you who's the hope of glory. This is what we need to choose to do every time. When the attack of the enemy comes, when the flesh rises up, we need to flee from it, run from it, and stand on the Spirit and stand on what God says. Stand on the Word. So, guys, now there's no more important time than this to get into our Word. There's no more important time than this to draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. You know, there's so much going on around the world, and Pastor Dave talked about floods that are coming. There's going to be attack, and the things that we stand for are going to be condemned and criticized, and we need to be strong. We need our spirit man to be strengthened. We need to be part of a mighty army of the Lord, with our spirit man as a mighty warrior that we can have an answer for in any situation. We know the word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and we can use it. We can stand on truth in every situation. There's going to be attack, and there's going to be confrontation, and it's going to go from your head to the world around you. We've got an opposition in our mind. And if we don't win the battle in our mind, we're not gonna stand up when others around us come and challenge us. We need to have that strength in our mind first. So, guys, we've got to make a choice every minute of every day of who we're going to listen to, who we're going to feed. Are we going to feed our flesh, or are we going to feed our spirit man? And we need to stand on that and feed our spirit man every time. Thanks, guys.
I can't remember when you had this event. Don't go away. But you saw you were just hovering over a cliff, and you saw an army coming. And then you looked in the field and you saw, this was very interesting, you looked over the field and you saw Christians just laying down, some people laying on their helmet, some people like didn't have their breast, eating and drinking and dancing and just doing their own thing. Do you remember? Come in. Come in. I'll tell you after. All
right. So there was the watchman actually on top of the peak. And his job, of course, was to watch and see if there was an enemy coming. And he did. He could see in the distance this enemy coming. And I don't know if any of you have seen Lord of the Rings, but I tell you, there's a scene there where they look out and suddenly there is this massive, massive army. And it was just like that. And then the watchman turned around to see what the people of God were doing. And they were just... a lot of them were in family groups, some people weren't, some of them were sitting around fires, just talking, but none of it was about God. And then I think it's this one where someone stood up and said, "What are you doing? You need to rise up, you need to pick up the weapons of God, and you need to put on the armor of God," because they were all distracted. Singing, dancing, having family time. But, you know, to put on the armor of God requires spiritual effort. And to use the sword requires even more effort because it's heavy. The word of God is heavy, but it's double-edged. So whichever way you swing it, it cuts.
Get the message? Get the message? We don't want to be those dry bones. And I just thank you for that word. Don't. No, I just thank you for that word, because we're going to be a restoration people. Is that such a word? We're, you know, like I was praying with someone yesterday, well, two women, and I was just saying about restoration. She said, before you said it, I saw the word restoration. And I really believe that God is going to restore his people. But you've got to help us. You've got to put on that armor. You've got to keep praying. You've got to keep thinking how God thinks. We're an army. We're a strong army. And we're going to speak to the storms. We're going to speak to that flood, Dave. Anyway, that's it. Good work.
Excellent word, eh? Praise the Lord. Awesome. Thanks, Cam. Well, God bless you. There's no more to really say. God said it. Amen. Have a great week, successful week, wonderful week. And please don't forget.